Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Get The Table, another Wrestling Roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hanfler, and Andy Murray from What Culture to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dubai, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflet and Andy to discuss. Well, gents, we are gathered here today to discuss the WrestleMania 38 card and predict it, I suppose. Andy, how are you feeling ahead of WrestleMania 38, considering the Royal Rumble is now in our rear view?
Not as good as I would feel if the Royal Rumble was better than it was. Not the greatest pay-per-view that WWE has ever produced in the month of January. In fact, not even the best month of January pay-per-view they've produced this year, unfortunately. it's kind of hard to feel the usual wave of enthusiasm that you would coming out of the Rumble because the event wasn't all that great. The men's and women's Rumbles in particular were kind of sludgy, kind of, you know, I don't mind so much about predictability. I don't mind who won the matches, but the bouts themselves weren't particularly exciting. The follow-up episode of Raw was very much an episode of Raw. They've seriously got some work to do for me to get fully excited for WrestleMania, because I like the Rumble more than WrestleMania generally. Can they do it? Well, they've got Ronda back. They've got Brock pretty much on a full-time timetable. There's certainly lots of interesting options like the ones we're going to talk about today. Yeah, 5 out of 10 if I was to rate my excitement.
And yet, looking at what Andy's pitched here, for example, and looking at the potential names that they've got, like, there's a chance that this could genuinely be the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time.
Indeed there is, Wilborn. I'm hyped. I'm way above the five that Murray very reasonably is. I'm a lifetime idiot loser and microphone abuser when it comes to talking about WrestleMania. Just endless, relentless hype. The venue's massive. It says stupendous in the branding. Even if the wrestlers aren't sort of brought together in the great combinations that Murray suggested in the article, look at all the names. Look at all the names. They're going to get white variations of the gear. Everything's bigger in Texas. You know, and you know what they're all obsessed with in WWE these days. It's going to be massive. I don't know. Like, WrestleMania is, WWE is very silly. And this is the silly season when it comes to WrestleMania at this point. They have shown before the pandemic and in the kind of WrestleMania that was on the way out of the pandemic but still in it last year, that they will still go daft for the big show. There will still be box-like structures. Like, hand in hand and arm in arm with, like, genuinely evocative moments, such as like the main event of night one or Roman Reigns stacking up every opponent as if to make clear that nobody could touch him. They can still do this. It's a bit of a shame that they tend to only do it two nights out of 365.
Yeah. Well, you talked about main events there. Let's start there, Andy. What would you like to see as the two main events of WrestleMania 38?
So what I would like to see and what I think I will see are not necessarily the same thing.
Sorry, yes. This is just predicting it, not what you'd like to see.
I don't want it to be seen as I'm endorsing a certain match that we'll talk to later.
I am. Yeah, I'm all in.
Maybe I am as well, actually. So the first main event, WrestleMania. I'm thinking night one because it's an appetizer for the second night. Got to build excitement, deliver a moment, but build excitement is Shane McMahon versus. It's Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair.
I was going to say, I was getting a bit of a sweat on there, Murray. Something you're going to suggest. There might be a huge, pretty significant problem with that.
Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair, following the reporting from Dave Meltzer and various other people, pre and post Rumble, seems to be the way we're going. Makes sense, because that means you can do Becky next year. You can get two WrestleManias out of Ronda, which seems to be the contract. Why do the Becky match this year? Why burn that out? Why not do the Charlotte match? Come back to the Becky one next year. You've been waiting for it forever. If Becky turns babyface again, Ronda goes heel, I think you've got, well, you've got 14 months to build that. Could be awesome. Could be great. And Charlotte and Ronda have had a good match in the past as well. Very physical, very intense. My night two main event.
The dynamics, sorry, just to talk about that quickly. The dynamics, like you say, for the Becky one, this seems, as much as I'd love to see it this year, like you say, is you zoom out and see the bigger picture. If you're going to do, you are going to do Becky versus Ronda, and I'm going to hold you to that, WWE. Then Ronda versus Charlotte this year just makes sense.
It does make sense. WWE already, because they just do this to themselves, need to work harder than they should have needed to promote this. Ronda and Charlotte had an absolute ripper at the Survivor Series 2018. A really memorable, probably all-time great WWE women's match, quite honestly. I think that's without hyperbole. And yet, they bring Ronda to the post-Royal Rumble Raw and have Becky Lynch refer to that match as an appetizer. Problem is, that's true. It is Charlotte Ronda is an appetizer to the main meal of Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey, yet they're going to force an appetizer to be the main meal in Texas. They've made that bed for themselves, and it's now all about making that dynamic feel more relevant, feel more topical, feel more urgent. What I think they've got going in their favor with Charlotte Flair is that it will be much easier for fans to gravitate to Flair as the heel when Rousey is already feeling like she needs a bit more support from the audience. We're kind of still saying the loud part quiet when it comes to Ronda Rousey. The Rumble reaction was good, not amazing. Her Raw performance was good, not amazing. But these are the first two shows back. You know, she's what, like 4 or 5 months after giving birth. That will be a like physically and mentally and emotionally demanding experience in her real life that maybe wasn't there the last time when she was all in on this WWE run. It's merely a part of her life, not her whole life this time around. So we can expect a few like sort of subtle differences in how this all looks. But when Ronda came back, there was as much discussion about the real life person as there was about the awesome character that we've had on screen. That led into this belief that, oh, she's maybe not going to be as received as warmly as she was first time around. Charlotte Flair will aid that. She is very good at being disliked. Sometimes it's the most awkward thing with Charlotte Flair is when she's asked to play babyface, when she's such a natural heel. The fact that she can lean in as hard as she likes to being the villain of this piece will only help that fire, I think, burn brighter within Ronda Rousey. By the time we get to WrestleMania, assuming that she works at least 50 to 60% of the SmackDowns, I think we could be where we were in 2018, 2019 in terms of an expectation of quality and in terms of a build that has allowed us to believe that.
Night two, what you got?
Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Yes. Shockingly, shockingly, the match that's already been announced is going to be one of the main events of WrestleMania. Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty clear from the moment it was clear that we weren't getting The Rock, that this was the match. It's the one thing that WWE, I think, will always go back to when they have Brock available. Him and Roman, they've been doing this for a long-ass time. And it makes sense as well. The way they've told the story, this all fits into place very nicely. Brock has had the WWE title. He's lost it, thanks to Roman. We've had Paul bouncing back and forth between the two of them. That appears to be done now, unless there's another twist and he becomes an advocate for another 2 weeks and goes, actually, I'm a wise man at the table. So we got a lot more 2 months of my tribal chief, those backstage segments that I find really obnoxious. But the rest of the story has generally been good. They've got the big important beats right. The first pay-per-view match, the right finish, the right outcome. The problem with me is the result of this match. It's like, what do you do with it? Brock is obviously big and bad enough to believably beat Roman Reigns. And if Roman Reigns' long title reign ends on a Brock Lesnar loss, It's no great shame in that. But it would be a shame if it ended that way instead of ending in the minting of a new star.
Exactly.
That being said, the minting of a new star is not generally something this company has done a lot over the past few years. So it's almost quite fanciful to sit here and go, oh, well, if they spend, I don't know, a year building up, pick your favorite mid-card wrestler who's really talented and really good and could rise up. Xavier Woods, let's say Xavier Woods. If they spent a year building him up, it'd be great, it'd be awesome. It would, but it would also be something they wouldn't do. It's not how they operate. It's not how they book. So I think it's a big attraction, clearly. The TV between these two is usually very good. Brock loves this role. I love Brock in this role. He's having a lot of fun. Doesn't need someone to do his talking for him anymore. It's a good vibe all around, and I'm looking forward to the fireworks show.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, they sort of looked into it in terms of not burning through another match at day one, but yeah, it just feels like this has been destined for quite some time, this, and I'm not arguing against it. For the first time ever in terms of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I go back and forth on the potential quality of this because it does feel like we've seen every possible like physical combination at this point. Heel, babyface, virtual squash, competitive. They've done it all. They've done every version of this. We've even had the version where whose side is Paul Heyman on? So that's out the way now, as Murray says. Kind of glad that we've ticked that one off by him sidling up to Roman at the Royal Rumble. Where I think this could really succeed is in, it's funny you mention about minting a new star, because minting a new star was what was always seen to be the natural way to end the Undertaker's streak, and they didn't. They gave it to Brock Lesnar. This feels like a perfect replication of the drama that you get that, but we have the advantage of knowing what it feels like now. We've lived through Brock Lesnar ending the streak, and we can all look at it. It'll be debated forever, but there's a lot of reasons why on balance it was a good call. Mm-hmm. So with that rationale, it's then easy to think, well, it'll be a good call to end Roman's title reign with it as well. It's something that is, you know, different lengths and different times and different meanings, but something that right now is as valuable as it. Like, he's got a belt, but this is as valuable. The number itself is as valuable as the belt. The time he's held the title is as valuable as the belt itself, probably more so. So the idea of Brock ending that, we've learned from the Undertaker experience, like, will work. It will be logical and it will feel earned if Brock gets it done. There is one sort of wrinkle on this road to WrestleMania that I guess, like, Murray at the time wouldn't have like factored this into the one we're going to talk about here. But I'm not completely opposed at present with Brock winning the WWE title at Elimination Chamber to add even more spice to this. Somebody will Photoshop Brocky Two Belts. And that's a bit of wordplay. But what it also is proof that precedent exists for both belts to be on the line. Becky did it, so they might not be shy against doing it again. And in Brock and Roman with both belts, you have very much a contemporary Ultimate Challenge. Title for title, Hogan versus Warrior, Behemoth versus Behemoth, and something has to give. It probably won't happen, but I dare say, come Elimination Chamber, it will cross Vince McMahon's mind, the prospect of that vision.
Well, we got a great question on the news today saying, you know, genuinely think there's a multitude of people in that chamber match that you could book leaving with the WWE Championship. You could have Bobby retain. That's what you've got, and we'll talk about. You probably wrote this before the chamber, possibly. But, Bobby goes into WrestleMania with the title in this predictions. But elsewhere, like, you could argue, oh, Riddle has it. Maybe Riddle has a feud with Orton. Or, you know, Seth wins it, and Seth and Kevin Owens, which we'll get to in a few minutes. You know, even AJ Styles and the legend that he's going to face could have the WWE Championship tacked onto it. And I think that's the beauty of that chamber match, which is genuinely intriguing. Talking of the WWE Championship, though, Andy, if Bobby Lashley leaves the chamber with it still around his waist, who do you think he's going to face at WrestleMania?
So when I was kind of constructing these card predictions, I kind of pondered the various options coming out of the chamber match. I wrote this the day after Raw, so it was just kind of come together. And the way I was putting it together in my head was, well, certain other feuds that are probably going to spawn from this match and towards WrestleMania don't need to have the WWE title. They're already interesting enough without the WWE title. And Brock getting the belt, I mean, I think Vince has probably already booked that, honestly. there's a good chance, but you know how often he changes his mind. I thought about that as well, but then I considered, well, yeah, the moment will be great and everything, but we've learned from Becky's run with the two belts that what happens after that is one of them doesn't work out so well. So I went to Bobby Lashley retaining in this, and then defending it at WrestleMania against Matt Riddle, because the Orton feud, that's going to be a long-term thing. They've talked about, reportedly talked about potentially doing it at WrestleMania. Plans seem to have changed. But you've already got the basis of it with Riddle being involved in the Elimination Chamber and Randy not being involved. There's a source of jealousy. Even better source of jealousy is if Riddle emerges in the road to WrestleMania, TM, as a number one contender and a challenger for Bobby. It's another thing that you can use to generate distance between Riddle and Orton for an eventual payoff. And if you book that program correctly and say Riddle beats Bobby for the belt here, you can have a world title feud that's going to last to SummerSlam or even longer if you're clever enough in how you put it together. That's the main reason I've gone for that. It's also just to give Bobby Lashley something big, something nice. I've really enjoyed his presentation since he stopped the Lana storyline and connected with MVP. I think he's been one of the most consistent characters and wrestlers in the company. I think he's been tremendous. First run was very good. This will be a shorter run for sure. The way I've got it in my head, lose it to Riddle at WrestleMania. He's really over Riddle as well, so it makes sense. Here, shorter run, but if he wins Elimination Chamber and knocks off Brock Lesnar, or you know, Roman Reigns or the Usos interfere and somehow get inside the chamber and help him or whatever, that's not a bad scalp to have either. So be a good run.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd love to see Big E in Riddle's spot, but I don't know whether or not that's viable. I don't even know if he's on bloody SmackDown or not.
He's on SmackDown now, yeah.
It's not looking great. But SmackDown tag wrestler Big E, probably not fighting for the Raw singles title.
It's telling me there's a chance. Still hold out. But yeah, the Riddle Lashley match has real potential, especially because of their MMA backgrounds. This could be a real show stealer for me.
Yeah, it's kind of a out of nowhere ripper, this pitch. I mean, obviously, if we can't get Hurt Business Explodes Triple Threat, then I guess we'll just have to take this as a second place. The Riddle Orton thing is strange because this has kind of come in line with conflicting reports about Randy Orton's near future, hasn't it? Like the prospect of whether or not he'll be part of the road to WrestleMania and something that we would have probably from what last, like autumn, assumed would be the breaking up of RK-Bro for the benefit of this match. I have quite significant worries that if Orton and Riddle doesn't make WrestleMania, they won't have the like nous and ability to tell the story and extend it beyond. The one thing about this time in this feud to end at WrestleMania was that they didn't have time to blow it. It's like, not to be like overly cynical, but they don't do long-term storytelling anymore. They barely do storytelling anymore. So the fact that this has managed to sustain itself as long as it has almost feels like you're risking too much by not paying it off at WrestleMania. But while we're talking about Riddle versus Lashley, it feels, and I can't speak to this without Cage Match in front of me for the hours and hours and hours of Monday Night Raw we've watched, it feels like a brand new combination, even if it's not. And really, that's more important. It doesn't matter if they've wrestled before. Everybody's wrestled before. WWE never ends. But if you have a match that feels brand new on a stage like WrestleMania, then it's sort of the perfect way to crown Riddle. Yeah. It's sort of like a match he like none of us expected him to have. Mm-hmm. And then he gets a win that maybe nobody would have forecast. Even, what, as much as 2-3 weeks ago when you were looking at the breakup? The chamber performance will probably matter because this is a time of year where, for all of his many faults and foibles, Vince McMahon is probably watching quite intently to see who looks like they want it the most. Plans do change, pal, and this is a bit of an opportunity in that strange, I'll be generous and call it unique, it's obviously pretty awful, but a unique set of working circumstances where somebody can just force their way into a WrestleMania match to kind of force a will. That could be Wilborn. I was thinking force of Wilborn. Could be Riddle's opportunity if he has this incredible standout performance in the chamber.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Switching gears now, in the words of Michael Cole, Andy, to the Raw Women's Championship. Like you say, if Ronda doesn't fight Becky, this alternative seems the most obvious. And again, another potential show stealer.
Yeah, Bianca Belair. It's the match to book. This really is the most obvious thing in the world if we're doing Ronda versus Charlotte at WrestleMania. You have to pay the Bianca Belair situation off. You have to do it at some point. Otherwise, her whole year was for next to nothing, you know, with the wonderful moment of WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble win, of course, everything that's happened since then. It's a waste of time if you don't eventually pull this Becky thing off. You got to return to it. That memories of SummerSlam still linger in the back of many a fan's mind, and you've got to kind of get rid of those. A lot of people will tell you that Bianca had this incredible year last year. Her stock certainly rose.
Yeah.
Royal Rumble, amazing. The Sasha match and the title win, fantastic. Glad they got the main event spot. Loved it. It was one of my favorite WWE matches of the year.
Don't talk about the bit in between, though.
But yeah, that's the thing. That's what kind of undermines the great year take, is the stuff after that was, on the whole, not great. The Bayley feud in ring had its moments. Content-wise, week to week, all the faces laughing on the thing, stripping Bianca Belair of her confidence, which has always been her one big thing. Why are you bringing that into question? It's so far removed from reality that it was impossible to invest in. She's had various go-nowhere feuds since then. She was in the Royal Rumble for 47 and a half minutes, eliminated one person, and nobody noticed. She was thrown out like it was nothing as well. It's just, you need to make that good. You need to come back on it. And that's not something that WWE often do, but I'm pretty confident with the way the chips have landed elsewhere that this is what they'll do. Bianca wins WrestleMania. She's done it. She's got rid of Becky. She's answered that question. The issues are over. Big coronation. Here we go. Big run with a belt. You can also use that as a way to start turning Becky to the opposite side of the alignment scale as well. Get her to where she needs to be for Ronda. I've failed big time. Bex hasn't paid off. I need to go back to what I know. The man reemerges. Good way to kick that off.
Yeah. Like, echo that, really. I do resent the implication that Bianca Belair isn't still the EST. She is indeed the weakest, the meekest, the mildest. But I would like to see that rectified ASAP. The point Murray was making about a year, it needs saying louder, quite honestly. Like, the angle in between the Rumble and WrestleMania was risible stuff.
Yeah.
People were clinging on for Bianca and Sasha to just be great, and luckily it was. We are back there now. I wouldn't consider this story to be good between Becky and Bianca. It was just a series of defeats or near misses for somebody that was on top of the world before Becky Lynch came back. It's not a particularly great story. It's just a gradual decline of somebody's confidence, ability, and winning record that has extended to the Royal Rumble, where she was overlooked for the most part. But WWE is weird. And when nothing matters, you can really get away with things that you shouldn't be allowed to. Yes, Bianca Belair has done next to nothing in this quest to regain a title against Becky Lynch. Yes, she's done next to nothing in a Royal Rumble. But they want you to forget stuff. She won a match on Raw straight after the Rumble, clean. And in their minds, that's like them saying, great, ready for WrestleMania. They'll be thinking, right, there's a nice bit of visual symmetry about the fact that she lost the title in the big stadium setting, completely overwhelmed by the return of Becky Lynch. This time around, WrestleMania is something she's comfortable with. She's done this before, and she's done it bigger, and she's done it better, and she's no longer going to be overawed by Becky. There are nice details that you can add to this storyline. I want Becky to bring the truck back. that was the closest thing to big time Bex when she was still a baby face. So at least like lean into what we already saw happening before she went off on maternity. Have Becky get bigger time than ever before in order for Bianca Belair to beat the best version of Becky Lynch. And as Murray says, kind of have that mountain crumble, have everything fall apart around Becky Lynch, because you can do... It's been a bit overdone ultimately, but you can do a pretty good redemption storyline because she's a star. People will invest, as proven by this run, in just about anything she does. So give people the thing they want to invest in most between now and Ronda Rousey.
Let's quickly fly through some other matches before we get to one that Andy Murray's described as cinematic chaos. Let's do a couple of dream matches that you have pitched. One of which I'm looking at right now is absolutely mouthwatering.
It's so easy. You don't need to think about it. No effort whatsoever needs to go into putting this together. I don't even need to explain why you should do it. It's Lita and Trish versus Sasha and Bayley. It's the easiest match in the world. It's two generations colliding. The standouts from those generations. Sasha and Trish have teased working together. Every single interview that comes out that one of them does, they seem to talk about the other one. They've teased it. They had that Rumble interaction in Royal Rumble 98. You bring their frenemies onto their side. You put them to... That's it. Just book it. It's good. It's good. Yeah.
Absolutely. A rare... I mean, of course, I would go mad for this. I'd put this on last on night too, quite frankly. It's so fantastic. It's one of those rare cases where the way WWE books, which is, it's official, is so perfect. I cannot quite bring... Like, I can't think of the narrative explanation for why Sasha and Bayley suddenly come together again. I can't quite think of the narrative explanation of within 2 or 3 months we get to this tag match that Sasha and Bayley have been trying to manifest for years. But I can think of a time when WWE have just said a match is happening with a graphic. And I would be more than willing to welcome that here. Sasha Banks says, I want something big for WrestleMania. I'm looking to legends. I'm looking to icons. And I'm not afraid of anybody. And then our graphic manifests her WrestleMania dream. And if anything, you tell the story of this being Bayley's comeback match and can they coexist? And you know that WWE love it. And you see them together for the first time. You wonder, are they going to like be the heel version of themselves, the golden role models, the babyface or whatever? And the match will just absolutely rule. No way, absolutely no way that Bayley and Sasha won't want a Trish and Lita match to try and steal the show. They will do, and I'm not saying Trish and Lita like can't still go in small doses, but they're going to do everything they can to make this seem even better than it already looks on paper. I love this.
In terms of a men's dream match, AJ Styles versus Edge writes itself as well, doesn't it?
They both want it, don't they? Like AJ was speaking about it, I think on Twitter or somewhere the other day. Yeah, I mean, it's just another one. You just throw it together. It doesn't have to be this long, complicated. And in fact, if it wasn't this long, complicated storyline, I think it would actually benefit Edge. Because, brothers, I have seen more than enough of those sitting in the middle of the ring with a spotlight and a steel chair promos and the vein popping out of his head and getting super serious. You put me to a dark place, AJ. I've had enough of those. Don't do any of that. Just give me the match graphic, like Hamlet said. And AJ is safe. One of the greatest wrestlers of his generation of all time. I think he'd mesh very well with Edge.
Yeah, like Styles does this at this time of year, doesn't he? He kind of knows that he's got this really cool sweet spot in WWE where if he just asks or says things out loud enough, they might actually happen. I think he's been wanting to join this on this day community for ages. So this is yet another one he can tick off and nothing but respect to him for it.
We talked a little bit about the implosion of RK-Bro, and if that's not happening at WrestleMania, we could have another feud that is pulled off and a match that we actually saw, 2 years ago?
Yeah, when Kevin Owens jumped off the WrestleMania logo in an empty room because he's just...
Find me the biggest thing in a gym and I'll leave. Yeah.
He's just so dedicated to giving people a good show that even when they're not there, he'll do that. yeah, this is one I considered coming out of the chamber as a potential title feud. Seth, of course, had been mentioned as Shane McMahon's opponent before. Yeah. Shane McMahon sweated his way out of the company after the Royal Rumble. But yeah, I mean, they're doing the Jericho Owens thing with this feud. The dynamic is so similar. This one mega bell end, who's a bit extravagant, and Kevin Owens being Kevin Owens, and it's good. They've got great chemistry. They had great matches before. Be cool.
Yeah, like I say, if they don't do the RK-Bro one, I do like this. I mean, I've pitched these two fight for the tag titles at WrestleMania.
I think this is getting so out there that people are gradually falling in love with it, and I think there will be great baby faces for the Alpha Academy if you don't split them. I'm with you. I think they're like, I love what it's a bit of a selfish thing, Raw, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, can sometimes be really hard work. And you just look for the things that keep you entertained. And Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens make me smile. So the longer that they're together and doing this specific version of their like long, multi-year story, yeah, that like this particular bit of chemistry that they exhibit is maybe my favourite of theirs ever. So I'm, as much as this makes total sense for the card, I also am not against them sticking at it a little longer.
Yeah, I'd like them to get their, you use the phrase often, get their flowers for what they did a couple of years ago, because they just went bonkers.
Yeah, great match.
The arena WrestleMania. But at the same time, I know you're a fan of gear stuff. Imagine what Seth would dress Kevin Owens in if they're a tag team fight.
Owens is a visionary of drip for the night.
Right, we've got here finally Andy Murray. Please tell me your vision. I think it's fair to say that most of these predictions, like you say, you've not gone necessarily what you'd like to see. I mean, yeah. Some of them are the matches you'd like to see, but you've kind of gone where you think WWE would head. This one, tell me about Cinematic Chaos.
Cinematic Chaos. Right, okay. So we've got Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is on her journey back to WWE, as we've seen through the various Dr. Shelby-esque segments that are playing out on Raw.
She's the fiendish goddess.
It's the fiendish goddess. And we've, yeah, the filing of the trademark for the goddess kind of suggested, oh, maybe she's going back to her old character. But that's not really what we've seen playing out on TV, is it? We've seen this doctor, and he's earnest in his attempt to get into the core of what's going on with Alexa. What's going on in her mind? How can we get rid of all these things that are going on inside her
head? Core of the law.
The core of the lore. The core of the lore. Laura Jade. That's her opponent. It's not. The journey back for Alexa Bliss is culminating in a cinematic match, because her supernatural, whatever you want to call it, it's not going anywhere for me. Lily's there every week. She's like possessing her when she was 5 or whatever the latest story was, right? There's all kinds of weird stuff going on. So Alexa Bliss's journey back is a cinematic match at WrestleMania. And if you're going to book Alexa Bliss in a cinematic match, who else could she possibly face at WrestleMania in Cinematic Chaos, in a match that take place in a box-like structure,
than the Fiend?
Let me in.
It's Alexa Bliss versus the Fiend, everybody.
I'm so bang game for this. We've talked on other podcasts recently. I've had an epiphany lately. WWE, I thought it was just NXT 2.0. I've realised it's all of WWE, right? WWE is so ridiculous that the human beings that choose to work there are no longer relatable, because why would you choose to work there? Why would you choose to wrestle? If you could wrestle anywhere and you're a wrestler, why would you choose to wrestle in WWE? It used to be the dance. It used to be the biggest stage. It used to be the place where you'd make the most money. It used to be the place where you get job security. It's none of those things anymore, right? So why would any right-minded person choose to work there? It's not clear. Go and work for AEW. Go and like make your money on the indie. Sell your t-shirts. Live your dreams. All that sort of stuff. So when I look at that, I look at all these real human beings. I'm like, you're just not logical characters in this bizarre world that makes no sense. There are two logical characters in this world that makes no sense. Alexa Bliss and the Fiend. So whilst we all have a bit of a joke and say he's gone a bit outlandish for the last entry, he's actually pitched the most logical match of all of these. We've done an entire podcast, a roundtable, where we've kind of come up with logical reasons why wrestlers would fight. When was the last time WWE booked a single match that used those particular avenues to get to it? This, however, feels closer to all the WWE I've watched for the better part of 2 decades than anything else that I've ever wanted to, like, will into existence, anything I've ever wished for a WrestleMania card. I can't see past anything but this, quite frankly. Having been fortunate enough to be, like, part of the imaging process, shall we say, for this list. As soon as this was put in front of me, I was like, well, yeah, that's WrestleMania ruined if it doesn't happen. So I don't want to end on a low, but I'm just saying, without cinematic chaos, we're dealing with worst WrestleMania ever.
There you go. Well, there you go. Let us know your thoughts on our predictions. Let us know your predictions, in fact, as well, in the comments section below.
I feel like the Fiend is amongst us.
Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. You can also let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for the Fiend without a T.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. But for now, this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Hamlet, to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Fiend.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.